Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
I need to start today with an amendment to last week's sermon. You know, there's times where dear brothers and sisters in Christ find me after church and they mention a scripture and they say, you know, Pastor, you said this about that, and I don't think that's true. And I always try and come back and say when I've messed up or missed something. Last week's amendment is not that. Last week I mentioned quickly and not in my notes a song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, and mentioned that that was Kenny Rogers, and that's not true. It's Johnny Lee. Occasionally after a sermon get, like I said, one brother or sister that will come up to me in Christ and say, hey, Pastor, this was wrong. I receive texts and emails and personal visits from, I'm going to think at this point, about 20 people, which just means this. Some of y'all need to read your Bible more and quit listening to old country music. I had to say that because if not, I think there's a few of y'all that say, did you know, Pastor, last week you mentioned, I just wanted to stop that conversation there. Johnny Lee. Anyways, we're going to keep reading along with our Bible reading. Again, I'm going to say this continuously. I hope you're reading with us through Scripture. We have chosen this year to, as a church, read through the New Testament this year to slow down and really pay attention, and I hope that you are reading with us. If not, jump in now. It's not only by scripture, but by date, and so it's not too late to join in. Start reading today with us, and start understanding more and more of God's love for you and His plan for your life through His work. It's beautiful to slow down and read scripture together. Like I mentioned earlier to our church, today, we're going to talk about giving. As a pastor, it's always a touchy subject to talk to your church about giving. We'll talk about why here in a moment, but I want to caution you to not turn off yet. When we talk about giving, there is absolutely a God in our wallet. And when we talk about giving, we either give Him glory or we poke at Him. I will tell you, if the God of our wallet is the God of the Bible, we give Him glory through it. If it is the God of this world, you are going to find yourself uncomfortable at best. Our enemy desires that you would not be fruitful in your walk with the Lord. And so to do so, he's going to try every which way to change your fruitfulness. For so many of us, we have placed our hope and faith in Jesus Christ, and so he can't do anything about our salvation. But he chooses to do everything else to ruin our fruitfulness. And so when we talk about giving, it's trouble. And so I just want you to do me a favor. Take a breath. It's going to be okay. I'm not preaching this sermon so that our giving goes up at our church. Our church is very faithful in their giving. You guys absolutely are amazing. Thank you for your continuous giving. I will say this, my hope and my prayer today is that through this I will show you the reason why we give. If you give because you give to a church, you have been taught incorrectly. You don't give at Quell Creek because you just want the church to be great. That's too small of a giving effort, and I believe is unbiblical. I believe you give because of worship. That's it. You give because of worship. So let's go to Scripture with me. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you want to begin finding your way there. And as you do, I want to tell you a story. There is a book called The Giving Tree. Shel Silverstein wrote it. In the book, there's a tree, and a young boy goes and often climbs this tree and gathers its leaves and makes crowns for himself. He eats the apples of the tree. He swings from its branches. He sleeps under its shade. The boy and the tree are happy. But the boy grows up, falls in love with a girl, leaves the tree behind, but occasionally will show back up. And one day he shows up and he tells the tree, "Hello," and the tree says, "Oh, little boy, climb my branches, eat of my apples, sleep in my shade." And the boy says, "I need money. Can you give me money?" And the tree says, "Well, I don't have any money, but take my apples and sell them in the market, and then you'll have money and you'll be happy." So the boy gathers the apples and away he goes, and time goes on. Next, this older young man shows up, and the tree says, "Oh, little boy, climb my branches, eat from my apples, sleep in my shade." And the young man says, "I don't need any of that. I don't have time. I need a house. I want a wife and kids. Can you give me a house?" And the tree says, "Cut my branches. Take my branches and use them to build your house, and then you'll be happy." And the boy does, and time passes. Middle-aged man shows up, and the tree, now without any limbs, says, "Oh, little boy, I don't have shade, and I don't have apples, but you can sit." The boy says, "I don't have time for that. I want a boat. I want to see the world. I want to get away from things." And the tree says, "Well, then cut my trunk." And the boy does, and time goes by. A withered man shows up in the forest, and he sees a stump. And the tree says, "Oh boy, I have nothing to give you. I am withered and I'm old." And this older man says, "I don't have time for any of that. I just need rest." And the tree stump, the writer says, stands as tall as it can and says, "Oh, but a stump is an awfully good place to sit." And that's how the book ends. When it comes to giving, I think a lot of times we forget that God has given us so much. Amen. He's provided for us. He's sheltered us. He's clothed us. And yet, we're not really great at returning the favor. Now, I'm not here to tell you that you can give of your money and it pleases God's heart. Like you could outgive him or even give equivalently, because that would be an impossibility. You cannot outgive God. You can't even hope to kind of give as much. Instead, giving does a lot to show who you are. Let's look at the text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, the point is this: the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. God is able. I love that part. You should underline that. God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, "He distributed freely. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all generously, which produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the proof provided by his ministry, they will glorify God for your obedient confessions of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone. And as they pray on your behalf, they will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. When we think of God, when we think of his ways, we have to understand who God is. We have to put a full picture up. When I was a child, we used flannel graph for that. Our teacher would have a picturesque countryside, and she would say something like, here is James, and she'd throw some figure up. It was a guy that I always thought was wearing a dress. This is James, and I went, where's his pants? As a kid, you just didn't quite understand why Jesus had to wear a robe all the time. And so you'd lay out stories, and you'd get a full picture, and that's the reason why those were used, is so that your imagination would focus on the truth behind it. I think a lot of times when it comes to God, we may not think he's that good. Now, let's just talk about it for a second. Before we look at Scripture and how God gives and that nature of God, let's talk about when the Lord takes away. I can think of several people in my life that the Lord has taken. And I would say in those times that, frankly, from my heart, I've wondered why. And I want to be honest with you, because I feel like as a pastor, maybe you think that we're like immune from suffering or questions. But there's a lot of questions I have. I don't understand God's timing. I just don't. I don't want to lie to you and make you think that I have some deeper understanding of God that's beyond Scripture. Like, as a pastor, you go to school and they go, oh, by the way, here's a secret book that we only give to pastors. You're going to understand God better because of it. That doesn't happen. We're given the same text that you are. And so we have the same feelings and questions that you do. And so there's moments that, if we're being very honest, we don't always think that God did it right. And maybe you've never felt like that, but I'd like to think there's a few of you that probably understand that. There's been times that things have happened that you say, why? Why did that happen? Where were you when, and you have a fill in the blank? Or why did you do this? And there's just this tension in us to go, God, we don't understand. And I want you to know from my heart, as much as I've read of Scripture, I've never seen God say, don't you ever ask me questions. Don't you ever have doubts. In fact, the writers of Scripture, the apostles, shared in their Scripture that they had doubts. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not alone. That there's just some times that I have questions. The beautiful part about that is this. When you have questions, you need to go to somebody that has answers. I'm not a serious mechanic. I'm very thankful for YouTube, because I've learned that there's serious mechanics out there that have shown me how to break stuff the right way. But when something's really wrong with my vehicle, sometimes you have to take it to somebody that has the right answers. If nothing else, you need to take it to somebody that has the right tools. And when it comes to God, you're going to find yourself asking questions to the wrong people. You're going to go to ministers, they're not the right person. You're going to go to your friends or your loved ones, and they're not the right source. They don't have the right tools. Can I just tell you, I believe in counseling. I love counselors. I see a counselor. I'm thankful for the time that I get to sit across from them and share my heart. But let me just tell you something. They're not the end source either. We must climb up into the lap of our Father and simply say, I know you might not give me all the answers right now, but I just wanted to be close enough to you that you might could. I've found that in my life, the moments that I'm uniquely broken and that I don't have an answer are the moments that are the sweetest with my Savior. Now, it doesn't mean that I leave moments with the Lord when I'm going through brokenness that I'm like, and now I understand. It just means I go, but I got to be with my Father. Have you ever had a conversation with God that didn't end well? Where you're just angry? Where you just say, I'm mad. And I don't want to be mad at you, but I am. Help me to not be. Have you, anybody ever had that? Man, if you haven't, live longer. You will. And in that moment when you're angry, you know what I've discovered about my father? He is so compassionate and kind, slow to anger. And he's like, I get it. But you have to understand how our father sees us. He doesn't see us as mature, finished products. He sees us as his children. So let's look at God's nature when it comes to giving. James 1, 5 through 8 says, now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all what? Generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for a doubter is like a surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in his ways. This is what God expects of us, that we go to him and ask. And our Father gives generously. James 1, 16 through 18, a little bit later in that same text says, don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That was hard to say, shifting shadows. But by his own choice, he gave birth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creation. And then Matthew 7 tells us this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Do you think our Father gives well? Of course he does. Our Father gives well. Our Father in heaven has a giving nature. He's a giver. But here's the thing. Since that's God's nature, since God has a giving nature, so should his people. We should look like him. Here's the problem. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he gives them an agricultural example. He says this to them in verse 6, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, which just means this, if you plant very little, you shouldn't expect to get a whole lot. And then, I'll quit breathing into the microphone, but you're awake now. But then he says, he who sows generously will also reap generously. I want you to know something about this passage. There's two definitions in this passage. One is about money, and the other is about spiritual things. You will hear people tell you on TV and in some churches that if you give more in the sanctuary, God's going to give you more. This is not true. It's just untrue. If that's the answer, then that would mean that Jesus didn't understand Scripture, and here's why. There's a day where all the wealthy people show up to church, and they're giving large amounts, just big bags of money. And as they drop their money in, all the apostles were amazed by this, large sums. But Jesus notices one person, a widow, who comes in and drops mites in the offering plate. She sowed very little, but he noticed her heart. Listen, if you think that you can give and God should give you more, it's untrue. Amen. You and I should give differently. This is what giving as a Christian should look like. I want to tell you, you've been told all your life that 10% is the marker. 10% was true for the temple. Some of you should be giving more than that because God has asked you to. Amen. He has asked of you to do so, and you have a reluctant heart. And because of that, you are missing the blessing of God in your life. But if you are sitting here today and you've always thought that 10% is what you are supposed to give, and that has been what you've been told since you were a kid, and you give 10% and you're like, I hate giving 10%. I hate writing that check. Let me just tell you something. You're giving incorrectly. It's wrong. It's anti-scriptural. And Paul is trying to tell the church this. Verse 7 says, every person should do as he has decided in his what? Heart. Now I want to stop. Let's talk about the heart for a second. Scripture tells us that the heart is deceitful. So if you're trying to just answer it through the mirror, you're going to miss what God has called you to do. But see, our hearts and this passage, this thought of heart, is so different than this blood-pumping thing that we have in our chest. This is the very core of who we are. You should determine in your core what God has called you to do when it comes to giving. And what Paul says is two things, not reluctantly and not out of compulsion, which means this. Churches that say, if you don't give, you don't belong, that's compulsion. They may have the money, but they have missed the heart. Amen. But also, you should not give reluctantly, which means this. If your giving causes you spiritual distress, you should go to the Father. Talk to Him. Listen to Him. But what does God love, according to the Scripture? God loves a cheerful giver. What if your giving looked like that? What if when you and I gave, we gave in such a way that showed the world that when we're giving, we love it? So I want to talk to you about how you should give at Quail Creek. I will sit here and tell you that these lights that are on cost money. That the air conditioning that you're experiencing today is a gift. Believe me, being in Greece for a week, air conditioning is a gift of God. But it costs money. Employing your staff costs money. Fixing the hole in our roof right now costs money. By the way, you may not know this. Our beautiful church that we love has these caps around the top. They're kind of off-white. They're beautiful. They go around kind of our roof line. Did you know that for this past week we've been fixing those? Because we saw that there's about, two or three that were falling off. By the way, just on this side here, the company that came in to look at it found 26 on one side of our building. That costs money. You may go, oh, that's awful. Yes! Yes, it is. To send our kids on mission trip costs money. To do VBS costs money. To do what we do costs money. But I want you to know something. If you're giving because you think the church needs your money, Paul says it's wrong. We give because God did. We give because it's at the core of who He is. He has given to us so richly. How can we not give back to God? The fact that you attend here is why you give here. You give here because you believe at the church at Quail Creek when you give, it goes on mission. It reaches to families that are going through bereavement. It reaches into high schools for the gospel. It goes around the mission field, all around the world when you give here. That's why you give at Quail Creek. It's not so that your pew is softer. It's because you believe that when you give at Quail Creek, it does something. That's why you give at our church. Did you know that most givers that give at Quail Creek don't give extravagantly? They give what they can. But they give what they can because they believe in what happens from the church at Quail Creek, not at. This building is not worth the money. The mission's worth the money. What happens with money is what matters. And that's why I believe that some of y'all need to be asking the question, how can I serve on a committee that shows where the money goes? How can I serve on finance, on missions, on personnel? How can I be a part of groups in our church that are actively reaching out into our community for the sake of the gospel? These are the questions you should be asking, because if you're giving at Quail Creek, you should kind of know where it goes. But let me just tell you this. That is not why you give. You give because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. You give because you should. You give because you've been called to, and you give joyfully. Amen. The beautiful part about it is giving people not only echo the heart of God, they start to show everybody around them how to do it as well. No one should tell you how much to give, but you should. You should. But I told you from the get-go when we were starting talking about our greeting time before the service started that I was going to talk about giving, but I was ultimately going to lead to an opportunity for you to know Jesus. Amen. So let me tell you how we do that. I don't believe that you and I can even talk about a giving God or echoing his heart, because you can only give joyfully when you've received something to rejoice about. That's it. You can only joyfully give when you've received something to rejoice about. There's zero way you and I can give joyfully to God if we don't first understand how joyfully we've experienced him. When my daughter and I went this past week to Oklahoma, she's looking at a school there. I got to tell you, as we're driving up, I had an emotional moment as I was kind of telling her that it feels like time has gone by so quickly, that I feel like I missed years. I can remember holding her when I brought her home from the hospital. I mean, her head here, her little hiney here, right? And just holding her and looking at her and talking to her. I can remember those years. And now she's eye to eye with me. And it feels like from holding her from the hospital to today is a blur. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It feels like I missed it. Now, I was there, but I just told her one of the things her mom and I do is we grieve about those missed moments. Did we capture them all? Were we faithfully there? Have we trained her and taught her everything that she needs to this point? Have we led her to be a woman after God's heart? I just grieved as I was driving. I kind of grieved, too, because she's looking at a school in Oklahoma. But a few of y'all. Okay, anyways. But, man, I just grieved. But then I also look and go, she kind of looks like me and her mama mixed. She can't ever deny that. She's my daughter. And she could do a million horrible things between now and the end of her life. And I may not like her actions, but she is always going to be my daughter. Amen. She has no other option but to be my daughter. Our Father in heaven knows you. The most amazing thing about him is he's given us life and days, but he hasn't missed a moment of it, which means he is the same God who rejoices with you when you're joyful and is sorrowful with you in your moments of sorrow. He is the same God, and he hasn't missed it. And the most amazing part about his nature is this: he's made plans for you. From the very beginning of time, he made a plan for your life. And that plan was to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future, but sin came in. And you don't know it, but you and I have both chosen it over him. We've chosen it in our actions and in our speech and in our reactions. We've chosen sin over a God that made a plan for us. But the most amazing thing is this: his plan is not done for you. You see, because at the right time, God sent his son. And his son knew you. He knew you long before you knew you. And he went, you know what? I know how broken Kyle's going to be, but I love him so much that I'm going to make a way through my death on the cross for him. Amen. Because his story is not done. And so what Jesus did on the cross for me back then lives on. It's evergreen. You can't cut down its limbs. You can't cut down its trunk. You can't steal its fruit. But he begs you to come. Oh, come, child. Eat of my apples. Rest in my shade. Rest well here. And you and I are given opportunity of a generous God to partake of his sacrifice for you and I. So our sin finds its death and we have life. And that's how you live generously. Because you've been given to when you didn't deserve it. And you were given more than you could ever imagine through Jesus. The most generous God there has ever been thought of. You see, because we don't serve a God who we have to go to a temple to worship. We don't have to serve a God that we have to do a million acts to be in relationship with. We serve a God who died for us, who wants to live in us and show us how generous he really is. I'm thankful for a God like that. So today, if you came and you need to know Jesus like that, I'd love to talk to you. Jesus came and died for our sins, and the Bible says that if we'll believe who he says he is and confess him as Lord, we can be saved. Amen. Today should be your day. He is generously given to you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a generous God on our behalf. Thank you that you love us, that you've chosen to die for us, that you have made a plan for us and a way for us. God, would you speak over this room? God, in a world full of distraction and in a world full of questions and hurt and heartache, God, we need something to hold on to. We need a God who's there, and it's you. So, Lord, my friends in this room, Lord, as they have listened, God, I pray that you've been speaking. Lord, a pastor can't save anybody, nor can a church, only a Savior. So, Jesus, would you do what only you can do? Lord, you bind away an enemy that holds ears closed and doesn't give motivation. And, Lord, would you speak, and, Lord, may we respond to a holy God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in these next few moments in the life of people as they experience a generous Jesus. Lord, thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info, that's I-N-F-O, at tcqc.org. tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.